pasuk in the Torah this morning. The Torah says, Moshe says to the Kohanim, with the Kohanim, Levim to Bnei Yisrael, Haskes Ushma Yisrael. I've darshan the rest of the pasuk earlier today, but Haskes Ushma, pay attention and listen, Yisrael. So the Gemara at the end of the Baruch Hashem, some Gimel and Beis, offers a variety of interpretations of the word Haskes. And one of them is Asu Kitos Kitos Ve'isku BaTorah. You should form different groups and learn Torah. Lefi Shein HaTorah Niknes Ela B'Chavurah. Because Torah is only acquired in groups. Torah cannot be learned as an individual. And Rav Kook in the Ein Hayah explains why. There's a problem, a number of problems. If a person tries to learn Torah as an individual, first, Rav Kook says that a person who's learning alone develops no tolerance for the views of others. And he becomes ingrained, he becomes convinced of his own rectitude. And when he then encounters other people and other opinions later on, he won't be able to hear them. He'll tune them out. And it leads to strife and acrimony amongst Jews. But in fact, if people learn b'chavrusa, they hear other views, they expose their minds even to other opinions, so it fosters peace and harmony amongst Jews. We become more accepting of each other. And Rav Kook says, the second problem is, if a person learns alone, ein hadvarim mitbarim karaui, things do not become clear. He doesn't get the emes, amita shel Torah. He's limited to his own thoughts, his own understanding, and therefore the truth of Torah in its totality will escape him. And thirdly, Rav Kook says, Mashinoge l'masim b'halacha. Practically, he could be wrong. He'll get the halacha wrong, and he'll never know it, because there'll be no one to correct him. He has no one to bounce ideas off. No one, if he has a bad sfara, worse, a bad psak, he misreads the Shulchan Aruch. He draws conclusions that are incorrect. He'll have no one to correct him. And therefore get the din wrong. I saw the words of Rav Kook earlier today, and it reminded me of the Mishnah at the end of the first Perek in Avos. Rav Gamliel said, Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omeid, the world stands on three things. Al ha'emes, adin, v'shalom. And emes and din and shalom are all engendered by learning b'chavrusa. Person learns with someone else, it was Rav Kook's second reason, he'll get to amita shel Torah. Because mistakes will not linger. And if a person learns with someone else, he won't get the din wrong. He'll have other people to clarify for him and rectify his errors. And if a person learns with another, that fosters shalom. He'll become more tolerant, more open, more appreciative of the views of other Jews. If that's true in a general setting, and it is, and therefore I reiterate to everyone the great value of the Beis Medrash Chavrusa program, which has already started, which people come and they just say they want to learn a part of Torah that they want to learn. And a Chavrusa is found for them. There's no doubt they grow in knowledge of Torah, in Avas Hashem, in Avas Yisrael, and engenders Emes Din and Shalom. And of course, as we begin the Yom Noraim, what we want on a communal level through Talmud Torah, we want it on an individual level for ourselves, to find ourselves in a position of seeking emes and accepting din and engendering shalom. All those make for a proper judgment for all of us. Tonight we begin with slichos, the process of preparing ourselves for the Yemei Din, internalizing what is necessary in order to confront what's ahead of us, and recognizing that all the challenges of the year past is only designed to catalyze us to the greatness of the future. Rav Shachter's shir tonight is sponsored Le'ili Nishmas Chaim Yisachar Ben Yechiel Zeidel Dov Feigenbaum Olav HaSholom and Yikutil Ben Yechiel Zeidel Feigenbaum Olav HaSholom, whose shoshim was just this morning. And we thank the entire Feigenbaum Mishpacha for their sponsorship, the support of the Beis Medrash, and of course the support of Talmud Torah in our community. Before Rav Shachter, I was just to introduce the introducer. It's my great privilege to introduce the head of the Beis Medrash for a few words of greeting as well, Rabbi Natanael Wiedeker.
Bershus, Bimar De'asra. Before beginning, I just would like to thank all of those who have been involved in organizing this Beis Medrash program, Rabbi Brander, Henry, Jackie, and Danny, and Corey, who has helped so much. The purpose of this program is to learn with you. We are here every Monday through Thursday, 8 to 10, and we'd like to learn, as Rabbi Przanski said, what that which most interests you, whether it's Gemara or Tanakh, philosophy or Chassidus, whatever you want, all you have to do is show up. Of course, B'nai Yeshurun is already blessed with many, many wonderful shiurim. What is it that we're trying to add? If someone who's never been at yeshiva comes and witnesses a vibrant Beis Medrash, what usually first strikes them is chavrusa learning. There are lots of lectures, but chavrusa learning, where two partners work together to interpret a text, to arrive at the truth, is something which is a singular experience. And that's what we're looking to add. All you have to do is tell us you're interested. There are brochures outside with the details, and we will join you in this quest. I'd like to ask the members of the Beis Medrash program just for a moment to stand up, and thank you. And as I said, we're here every night to learn with you. A brief Dvar Torah I don't want to take away from Rabbi Schachter's time. Without a doubt, the crescendo of Slichos is the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Again and again we repeat them, arriving at the apex at Ne'ilah. But if you think about it, that this should be the apex is really strange. After all, in the Yud Gimel Midos, we don't actually ask God for forgiveness. We simply state, He is Rachum, V'chanun, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed, V'emes, that He's kind, that He's merciful, that He's truthful, but we don't actually ask to be forgiven. Why is it that in the culmination of Slichos, we don't beg for forgiveness? Perhaps we could answer with a mashal. Imagine a poor person who arrives and asks a benefactor for some funds. He comes back the first time, a second time, a third time, each time promising that he's not going to squander that which was given to him. But finally, on the fourth time, he's too embarrassed to ask again. He knows that he hasn't utilized those opportunities. So instead of asking, he simply knocks on the door and says, "You've been so kind to me, you've been so merciful," hoping that his benefactor will once again give him some funds. Likewise, we have been given so many opportunities. We come back once again, embarrassed. Perhaps we haven't taken advantage of the gifts given to us. We can't even beg anymore. So we just state that you, the Ribbono Shel Olam, are merciful. But perhaps we could go a little deeper. That doesn't explain, after all, the first time that one says Slichos. And perhaps we could answer with a fundamental principle. The Medrash says that Tzadikim, afal pi sheyesh lahem litlos b'maseihem atovim, ein mevakshin meis hamakom ela matnas chinam. Even though tzadikim have good deeds, they nevertheless, when addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, always ask for a matnas chinam, a free gift. Not only that, but the Medrash says, k'sha'alam Moshe lemarom, when Moshe Rabbeinu went to heaven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the various storehouses of reward that people would receive. This storehouse was for Amelei B'Torah, those who studied Torah, and this for those who did Chesed. And then Moshe sees a big pile, and he says, "What is that?" And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "That is reserved for those who ask for a matnas chinam, for a free gift." Why? What is so valuable about asking for a free gift? Perhaps the answer is as follows. Someone who asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a free gift, even when they have merits, has internalized the realization that our whole life is a gift, that our existence is a gift. Even if we've done mitzvos, we don't actually deserve that which we get. As the Pasuk says, "Im tzadakta matiten lo, oma miyadcha yikach." We can't actually give anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is perfect. There's nothing we can give him. And thus, perhaps, this realization leads to the highest level of prayer, what we do tonight. We don't ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't beg him as though we're entitled to something, because we realize that everything that we have is a gift. Instead, we simply stand before him and declare that he is Rachum v'Chanun, Erech Apayim v'Rav Chesed v'Ames. May we all be zoche to continue to be the recipients of that mercy and be inscribed in the Book of Life. On behalf of the B'nai Yeshurun Yeshiva University-based Medrash program, it is a pleasure to call upon Rabbi Schachter to address us.
Does everybody have a copy of the handout? Do the women have a copy of the handout? Anybody need a copy of the handout? Please raise your hand. Might there be some extras? Over here at this end, please. The program this evening marks the beginning of a wonderful initiative between this extraordinarily great shul, B'nai Yeshurun, and Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, Yeshiva University, Center for the Jewish Future, to bring young rabbanim from our yeshiva to come to learn here in this community with you. It's a joint partnership between our two institutions, and it speaks in particular to the centrality that Talmud Torah has here in this shul and in this community, that a number of you were motivated to make such a program possible here in this shul. Brishutz Rabbi Przanski, Rabbi Zatz, Rabbi Brander, Rabbi Wiederblank, the Rabbanim or the Chavrei Kailul who are here this evening, Mare V'Rabosai. Shir this evening is sponsored Li'ilui Nishmas Chaim Yisachar Ben Yechiel Zeidel Dov. Last time I spoke, and the focus was on Chaim Yisachar, was before Pesach, and the shir was for a zechus for him, for a refuah for him. But that was not meant to be. And recently he was joined in the Pamal Yeshamayla by a Zaydi, Lili Nishmas Yekusiel Ben Yechiel Zeidel. We wish the Feigenbaum Mishpacha Nechama, and we are grateful to them for everything that they do for our community and for the Jewish people. I want to begin by focusing on Me'inyana Diyoma, which is the recital of Slichas Haba Aleinu Latova in just a little while. There are a number of different minhagim as to when we should begin reciting slichas, and our particular minhag is pretty late in the unfolding of this discussion. If you look on the first page in the first source, the Yitzhar HaGaonim quotes that the primary time to begin is during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva themselves. Based on a Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Dirshu Hashem b'imotzo elu yud yamim shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom HaKippurim, v'amar Rav Kayan Tzedek, minag bebeis yeshivas, lomer tachanunim ba'asori yamim shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom HaKippurim. So they call it tachanunim, we call it slichas. It's something that begins during and extends throughout the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. If you look on the left-hand side from Rav Amram, V'Rav Amram Kosav Ba'asori Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah L'Yom HaKippurim Mashkimim B'chol Yom L'Batei Knesios Lifnei Amud HaShachar U'Mevakshim Rachmim. Once again, the minute to get up early, to be Mevakesh Rachmim during this time, is something that's relevant during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Matzinu Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Hai in the next paragraph, U'Minageinu Lomar Tachnunim V'Hanei Asori Yomim L'Chud. First he starts, following what we have already seen, that it's Aseret Yemei Tshuva. But then he quotes that he heard in a couple of places that we already begin from Rosh Chodesh Elul. So we have Bimei HaGaonim, and we have two options. One is Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and one is already from the beginning of Chodesh Elul. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, in source number 2, towards the bottom, famous halacha, Perek Gimel halacha Dalet, the famous beginning of this halacha, afopi shetkia shofar b'Rosh Hashanah, gzeras hakosov, nevertheless, remez yesh bo. After the Rambam presents the significance of tkia shofar, of what we should be thinking about, the Rambam concludes halacha dalet, v'nagu kulam, everybody. Here there are no exceptions. The Rambam says everybody has a minute. Lokum b'layla ba'asori yamim elu. Once again, the Rambam says it's during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. If you turn to the next page, Rabbeinu Nissim in his Perush on the Rif, at the back of the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, asks a very powerful question, and via this question introduces a number of other dates when Slichas begins. First issue I want to address is when the slichas begin. So we have a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, I xeroxed it here in the Rif, on the second page, when the Mishnah says that the world is judged 4 different times. Barboa prakim ha'olam nido. It's in the Gemara, as it were, and it's also quoted in the Rif. There are 4 times when the world is judged. So b'Pesach ha'latvua, b'atzeres ha'peres ha'ilon, B'Rosh Hashanah, Kobay Olam, over in Lefanav Kivnei Maron, we're going to come back to this. Rosh Hashanah, human beings are judged. And U'Bechag Nidon and Alamai. Frek Rabbeinu Nissim, Dibra Maschel B'Rosh Hashanah, 3 or 4 lines down, it's about a third of the way down on the left-hand side of the second page. V'yesh Lishol, Rabbeinu Nissim asks a very powerful question. He asks a very logical question. For some reason, it never occurs to us because we just simply assume it. But the question, a priori, is very logical and a very sharp question. Vos epis dafka Rosh Hashanah should be a Yom Hadin for human beings. The Bishlama Sha'ar Dvarim, I understand the other 3 things that are mentioned in the Mishnah as days of judgment. The Bishlama Sha'ar Dvarim, Dahainu Tvua, Uperas O'ilon, Umayim, Kolecha Bizmano Nido. Each one is relevant to a time of year. There's a shaychus between the judgment and the cheftza, and the object itself, because that particular object is relevant during the time of year when we're about to judge it. As Rabbeinu Nissim continues, Kidarminim b'gemara, the Pesach is man tvua, and Atzeres is man peres ha'ilon, and Chag is man gishmei shana. So I understand why there's a judgment for those items during that time. There's a natural affinity, there's a connection between the two. Aval Adam, Lama Unidam Barash Hashanah, Yasim Bishar Yamim. Vasepis Manishtana Hayyim Azemi Kala Yamim. What is there in Rosh Hashanah that makes that an appropriate time more than any other day of the year that a human being should be judged? We just simply assume it. We grow up with it. We live it all the time, but why? Why should it be Rosh Hashanah? And Rabbeinu Nissim answers, and he quotes from a psikta. The psikta says, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, on the pasuk Dirsho Hashem b'imatzo, Disanya. Be'esrim v'chamisha be'elul nivra ha'olam. The world was created on the 25th of Elul. What does it mean the world was created? The world wasn't created on one day. The world was created on 6 days. But it means that the beginning of creation, day one of creation, was on Chaf Heyel. Ulefizeh, now we're into the wide lines in Rabbeinu Nissim. Hodasanya bigamara de Rabbi Eliezer omer betishrei nivra ha'olam al gmar briyaso ko'amrinan. The Adam Arishon shebo nigmar ha'olam nivra biyom shishi dahainu be'echad betishrei. So if you make the cheshem that Chaf Hey Elul is day one, and we know that Adam Arishon is created on day six, comes out that Adam Arishon is created day six equal Aleph Tishrei equal Rosh Hashanah. Now that day on which Adam Arishon was created, the Psikta continues, was a massively busy day. It was a very complicated day. There was a lot that was going on that day. And we have here, quoted by Rabbeinu Nissim, an hour-by-hour description of exactly how that day unfolded. And he says as follows, Garsinan suhasam bipsikta. Nimtza omer b'Rosh Hashanah nivra Adam Arishon. Shah Rishon, on the first hour of the sixth day, Ola b'machshava. The first hour of the sixth day, Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that he wants to create Adam Arishon. Shniyah nisiyayitzim alachi hasharis. There's a famous medrash that the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, so he called a meeting in the Pamal Yashel Maila, and he says, Nu, what do you think? You think we should go ahead with this? And there's a medrash. The medrash says that Chesed Omer Yibare and Emes Omer Al Yibare, there was a whole fight, there was a whole machlekes, there was a whole discussion. All that happened, that debate, that discussion, that meeting happened in the second hour. Nisiyayitzim alach ha'ashars. B'shlosha kinei safaro, in the third hour, all on the sixth day of creation, on Rosh Hashanah, he gathered together the dust out of which he was going to create Adam Arishon. B'dalet gavlo, he shaped it. B'hei rakmo, he formed it. B'vav aso gailam, in the sixth hour, he made actually the shape, the full form of what Adam Arishon was going to look like. B'zayin zorak by neshama. B'chesech nisei legan Eden. B'chiyas nitztaveh. Every hour, something's happening. He created him. He infuses within him a neshama. The next hour he puts it in Gan Eden. The next hour he tells him what he's allowed to do in Gan Eden, what he's not allowed to do in Gan Eden. B'chiyas nitztava ba'asiris arach. In 42 minutes, he already was over. He already did the Aveira. He told him 17 minutes ago, he told him what he could do. And in the next hour, he was already over. All of this on the same day. And in the 11th hour, he was judged. In the final hour, the 12th hour, is Yatza B'dimus, he was able to emerge unscathed from the judgment. Other Marishon, after the judgment, and it was a harsh judgment, but he walked out on 2 feet. He was able to continue. He wasn't utterly destroyed. He wasn't devastated. He had a future. All of that happened when that whole ma'aracha, that whole assignment, that whole schedule, all happened on Echad B'Tishrei, on Rosh Hashanah. Says Amar Laya Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ze simam lebanecha, G'shem she'amadato lefanai b'din b'yom zeh, v'yotzasa b'dimus. Just like you, I told you what to do, you messed up, you didn't do it right, I judged you, but nevertheless you're able to continue. So this is a precedent. What happened today, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Adam Arishon, at the end of the first day that Adam Arishon was created on Echad B'Tishrei, Kishem she'amadato lefanai b'din b'yom zeh v'yatzo b'dimus, kachasidin bonecha liyos oimdim lefanai b'din b'yom zeh v'yotzim b'dimus. So therefore we understand the answer to the question, that the reason why Adam, people, human beings are judged on Rosh Hashanah, because it's a chesed. It's a chesed that we're judged on Rosh Hashanah. Because our ancestor, our very dawn of human history of creation, already set a precedent that judgment doesn't mean destruction. That judgment means you could be nidon and you could be yotzei b'dimus. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm going to judge you on the same day to remind you and to remind me that we can do a Yom HaDin, but it doesn't have to mean that that's the end. וכל זה אימא סי בחדש השבי, באחד לחודש. ומכאן סמך למה אדם נידון בראש השנה, יסם בשער יום. Now in the process of this discussion, the psikta quoted by Rabbeinu Nissim says that the day one of creation was on the 25th of Elul. So skip to the end of the next line. Aval b'chav hei be'elul t'chilas b'riyas ha'olam hu, v'lachein u'lekach nagu b'Barcelona u'gulilo seho, l'hashkin ba'ashmeres ha'beker b'chav hei be'el. So in Barcelona, north eastern Spain, Eir ve'em di Yisrael, Amol Given, Barcelona. In Barcelona, there was a minig to start saying Slichas on Chaf Eil, because we want to build up a little bit until we come to Yom Adin. Chaf Eil was itself a Yachsin, because on Chaf Eil was day one of creation. Bereshis Bara Leikim is on Chaf Eil. So we're going to start to say Slichas in Barcelona on Chaf Eil. Then the Ran goes into a long Arichas and he rejects this consideration. If you look in the last line and a half of the Ran until the Dibra Maschil Gemara, like 7 or 8 lines down, the line beginning Beperek Ra'ahu Bezdin. Zok the Ran, based on this last 12 lines that I just presented to you, Lefiza Ein Makom Lakom Ba'ashmeres B'Chafei Bel. He rejects it. That doesn't really make any sense. It's not compelling. The Barcelona Minig Vayli Eden, but it doesn't really work, and we don't have such a Minig that we should start a Chafei El. Lefichach nagu b'Gerona Galilo Seha. Gerona is an hour north and a shtickle east of Barcelona. You can go today from Barcelona to Gerona in a little bit, around an hour. And it's both of them chashuva cities. In the Middle Ages, they were powerhouse cities. So lefichach in Gerona, which is an hour north of Barcelona, they had a minig shaloi lokum ad Rosh Hashanah. They were mekayim the minig ha-goinim, which we already saw, Rav Hai, Rav Amram, others, that we start on Rosh Hashanah. Umiyu yesh mekomos, shemakdime be'echad be'el. The other, you remember the yesh, shamati, sheyesh, in Rav Hai, that there's a minig to start on Rosh Chodesh Elul, be'echad be'el, v'yesh smach le'minhogon, l'fi shebo hischilu mem yom, shenesratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'moshe. If you make the cheshem from Shavuos to Yom Kippur, so Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to get the Torah, comes down on Shavuot B'Tammuz, and Nebuch, Segevar Finster in the Eden, he saw them with the Egel, he dropped the Luchos, he smashed the Luchos on Shavuot B'Tammuz, 40 days down. The next day on the 18th of Tammuz, he goes up, he comes down Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, 40 days, 40 nights, goes up again on Rosh Chodesh Elul, 40 days, 40 nights, comes down on Yom Kippur. So Lachti Kidvarecha, the Luchais Achroines, came down, the final authoritative Luchais that we live with, came down on Yom Kippur, but Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to get them, went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, so there's a smach, Zok Daran, that we should start saying Slichas at the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Elul. Meanwhile, I still don't have tonight. Meanwhile, I have Rosh Hashanah, I have Chaf Hei Elul, I have Rosh Chodesh Elul, where did our minna come from? So on the next page, source number 4, the Mechaber says as follows. The Mechaber says in Tovkuf Pei Aleph, Noegim Lokam Ba'ashmoros, Lomer Slichas V'Sachnunim, Eresh Chodesh Elul Ve'elech Ad Yom HaKippur. So the Mechaber, and it actually is the minig of many, many Sfardim, the Sfardim Taka start to say Slichas on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Zok to Ramah, the Ramah is ethnically more representative of the Ashkenazi community of us. Zot the Ramah, Minag b'nei Ashkenaz eino ken. Elam erosh chodesh ve'elech maschilin litkoa achar hatfila shachris. What do we do? What does the Ashkenazi community do from Rosh Chodesh? We start to blow shofar. Ve'oimdim ba'ashmores lomer slichos b'yom aleph shelifnei Rosh Hashanah. Now we have a fourth minig. On the Sunday before Rosh Hashanah, that's when we start to say Slichas. V'imcha Rosh Hashanah Beis O Gimel, Maschilim Miyom Alev Shavua Shalafanav. But if Rosh Hashanah, this year Rosh Hashanah is Biyom Beis, so we don't start Biyom Alev the day before, but we go all the way back and we start the previous Yom Alev. It's kind of a complicated system. And the question is, Vas Ebis, where did this come from and why is this? So the Mishnah Berurah gives two explanations, and this is relevant for us, so it's important that at least we should appreciate and understand the basis for our custom. In Sifkat and Vav, in the bottom right, Zot the Mishnah Berurah Me'am Aleph Shavuot Shalafav. Mishum Sha'arbe Noigim Lesanei Sasar Yomim Im Yom HaKippurim. There's a minig, in order to make sure that we're appropriately focused, there's a minig to fast for 10 days during this time of year. Fasting is Mis'ayrer, Tshuva, it's Mis'ayrer, self-reflection, it's Mis'ayrer, something is going on here, I need to look at myself, I need to understand myself. So there's a minig to fast for 10 days, but we have a problem, we can't fast for 10 days. Because for sure there are 4 days during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva that you can't fast. And he makes the Cheshem, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and Shabbat Shuvah, and there's a mitzvah to eat, Erev Yom Kippur. So now I have 10 minus 4, so I have to make up the 4. So how am I going to make up the 4? I'm going to do 4 earlier. So we have to make sure, if we don't fast, we should have Slichas. The Slichas is parallel to the Tainus. So we need to get 4 days of Slichas in before Rosh Hashanah. So if Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday, so then we can start the Matzah Shabbos beforehand. If Rosh Hashanah is not on a Thursday, if it's on a Monday or a Tuesday, then we don't start, he explains, 4 days backwards, but in order for there to be a Yom Mesuyam, we always start on Matzah Shabbos on Sunday. That's the day that we begin. So either it's within 4 days of Rosh Hashanah, so it's the immediately preceding Matzah Shabbos Sunday, or if it can't get 4 days in, then we start with the previous one. The second answer in the Mishnah Berurah is the point of departure that I want to share with you for tonight's presentation. Va'aytam shekavu dalad yamim. 2 lines from the bottom on the right side in source number 4. Va'aytam shekavu dalad yamim shekei matzino bekarbanos sheteunim bikur mimum dalad yamim kaidem akrav. When we bring a korban, so there is a halacha that with 4 days before we're ready to bring the korban, we have to examine. We have to make sure that it doesn't have a mum. You know, the mum passes the korban, so we have to make sure there's no mum. So we examine it 4 days before. U'b'chol ha-korbanos, parshas Pinchas, k'siv v'hikraftem ola. However, by Rosh Hashanah k'siv v'asisem ola. The verb changes when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. It's not like you makriv, it's not like you bring something else, but va'asisem, you make, and the interpretation is you make yourself into a korban. You make yourself into a neila. L'lamei cheber Rosh Hashanah yase adam atzmo, ki'ilu makriv es atzmo. So if we're the korban, the halach of bikur mimum applies to us. We need to examine ourselves prior to Rosh Hashanah, prior to Rosh Hashanah, 4 days. So if it's 4 days during that week, that's great. If not, we have to start the previous Mitzvah Shabbos. So essentially what we're doing now is, it's a din in Hachana. What we're doing now, starting tonight, is we're examining ourselves in preparation for Rosh Hashanah. So we are now engaged in the process of introspection and self-reflection, as a way of being mechin, preparing ourselves for what will, emetz Hashem, haba aleinu l'tova, what will be Rosh Hashanah. I want to now skip to the source number 14. I want to take a look at other examples of Hachana that are important for us to consider and to think about. Because Hachana is a basic yesod in our lives as Jews, and it plays itself out now, this time of year, tonight with Slichas. Slichas is a din in Hachana, but Hachana is pervasive. So let's take and look at a few examples. Erev Yom Kippur, there's a halacha, source number 14, there's a halacha to eat, I mentioned it a moment ago, there's a halacha to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Why is there a halacha to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Why? Why is there a halacha to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? So the basic answer is, who cares why? As I state in the Torah, that's it. End of conversation. But if you look at Rashi in Brachas, and this Gemara appears in a number of different places in Shas, Zot Rashi, top left, underlined, V'achika amakra, hechinu atzmachem, B'tisha lachodesh le'inui hamachros. It is a din in achana. The eating that we engage in on Erev Yom Kippur is to prepare for Yom Kippur. There is a famous Rabbeinu Yoni in the Shari Tshuva, which is source number 15 at the bottom of the page. Rabbeinu Yoni gives three different reasons of why it is that we eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The first reason at the end of the first paragraph, ki heres simchoso ba'agiyaz man kaparoso. You understand, sometimes, for a long time in my life, I was upset about Yom Kippur. I was challenged by Yom Kippur. It's a hard day. I wasn't looking forward to Yom Kippur. It's a real tough day. You fast so much. You're in shul so much. It's just taxing. It's just demanding. Then at some point I began to realize that Yom Kippur is such a chesed and such a gift, because Yom Kippur by definition is the day of kapara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me an opportunity to have kapara. There's such a thing called the Tzumo Shel Yom Mechaper. If I extend myself and I engage in Yom Kippur properly and appropriately, then I don't understand it, I don't know how, I don't know why, but it's going to help me. The very Atzmius, the Etzem of Yom Kippur itself, the experience, an emissary experience of Yom Kippur is Mechaper. What a gift! Doesn't have to be. If I get what I deserve, I'm in trouble. But God says, no, I'm on your side. I'm going to pull for you. I'm going to help you. It's mechaper. It's wonderful. So how do I show how happy I am? How do I express my joy, my simcha, over the matana that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me? So I have a suda. That's what we do. We have a sudas mitzvah. A suda by us is an expression of simcha. It's an expression of hakaras hatov. Zokta Rabbeinu Yona, the reason why we eat on Erev Yom Kippur is because we're counting down to an amazing gift. Ki heres simchaso ba'agiyaz man kaparos. The second answer of Rabbeinu Yona is a very interesting answer. You see, Yom Kippur is a yomtiv. Rosh Hashanah is a yomtiv, Yom Kippur is a yomtiv, Shal Shragolo Yom and Tovim. When the Pasuk says, Eile Mayadei Hashem, what follows, the Mayadim include Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, and on yomtiv there's a din of Simchas Yomtiv. And the din of Simchas Yomtiv expresses itself on yomtiv via a Seuda. So there's a Chiv Seuda on the Shal Shragolo. Voltman Gemeng, therefore there should be a Chiv Seuda on Yom Kippur. If Yom Kippur is a Yomtiv, by definition a Yomtiv has a Chiyuv Seuda, it's Simchas Yomtiv. But I have a problem. I can't do it on Yom Kippur because I'm not allowed to have a Seuda on Yom Kippur. Chamisha Inuyim. So what do? I'm mekayim the mitzvah of Simchas Yomtiv via Seuda on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Seuda on Erev Yom Kippur, the Chiyuv Seuda on Erev Yom Kippur, second answer of Rabbeinu Yoina, is a kiyum of the Seuda that be'etzem, all things being equal, I should have done tomorrow. I should have had tomorrow. Third answer of Rabbeinu Yoina is the one that I'm looking to underscore. Vashlishis l'man nechzak l'harbos tefila v'tachnunim b'yom ha-kippur. To give me strength. L'man nechzak. Why am I eating today? Because I have my work cut out for me tomorrow. I have a lot to do tomorrow. I have a lot to accomplish tomorrow. And it's taxing to be in shul and not eat. It's taxing. It's complicated. It's challenging. So I give myself chizuk. I give myself an unge, shtop, daimamish, at the soup and the knedel and the brisket and whatever it is. I have l'shem shamayim esuda on Erev Yom Kippur. Now I'm fortified. I'm fortified, I'm ready to go, now it's not going to be so hard for me, because I am now satiated. It's a din in hachana for tomorrow. The way Rashi says, you eat an Erev Yom Kippur to get strength, to get chizik, to be able to face the day, and to properly do what it is that we have to accomplish. Just parenthetically, I want to show you, it's actually a really fascinating machlekes rishayim. Because in number 17 on the next page, the Shibolei Aleket also says it's achana, but he says it's the opposite. It's not to make it easier for us, but it's a hachana to make it harder for us. When somebody nebuch is not used to eating, so by them fasting is not a big deal. Somebody who's used to eating, the contrast to fasting is difficult. Zot Shibaylei Aleket. I eat mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur so that the contrast to the fast on Yom Kippur should be harder for me, should be more difficult for me. It should be a greater inui for me. Lekayim inui on Yom Kippur. Not a hachana to make it easier, but a hachana to make it harder. So we see that the whole inyan of Erev Yom Kippur, just like what brings us here tonight, is a din in hachana. We do things in order to prepare something else. That this is a chush of a thing that we're doing now in order to make something possible, to make Rosh Hashanah possible, to make Yom Kippur possible. The Rav, one year in source number 18 in one of his Tshuva drushes, spoke about Erev Yom Kippur not only in the context of Achila, but in the context of Erev Yom Kippur Bichlal. I remember how difficult it was to go to sleep on Erev Yom Kippur. The Shechet used to come at the break of dawn to provide chickens for kaparas. They did kaparas as Ivi Medarf Tzizayin. They did kaparas with the chicken. Later, the people would give tzedakah. The wallets of the Jews were open twice a year on Erev Yom Kippur and on Purim, but especially on Erev Yom Kippur. Mincha, Vidui, Suda Mavsekes, the Zayda's preparations. I'm not sure which Zayda he actually had in mind, whether it was Reb Chaim, whether it was Rebbe Prisoner, whether it was his maternal Zayda, whether it was his paternal Zayda, both Gaonim and Tzadikim, who I'm sure had a lot of achanas on Erev Yom Kippur, and he references them, all made Erev Yom Kippur a special entity, not only halachic, but emotional and religious. It's not just a din in eating on Erev Yom Kippur, it's a din in living Erev Yom Kippur. It's a din in experiencing Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is special. Erev Yom Kippur constitutes the herald that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is coming. Lefnei Hashem Titaru. There's a chiddush here. We normally define Lefnei Hashem Titaru in a spatial sense. Lefnei Hashem Titaru. What's Lefnei Hashem? Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Aleikeichem. So we understand that to mean in the Makom HaMikdash, in the place of Ashuras HaShechina. Lefnei Hashem Aleikeichem. Lifnei Hashem, in the presence of God, Titaru. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, it doesn't mean in the presence of God. It's not spatial, but it's chronological. Lifnei Hashem, before I come to Hashem, prior to my engaging with Hashem, Lifnei Hashem, I'm already focusing on Titaru. And when is the Lifnei Hashem? Before Hashem, prior to Hashem. And that's a din in Erev Yom Kippur. So Erev Yom Kippur is a time of tremendous hachad. I want to move now to number 24. I want to move now to Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik used to give a tshuva drasha Ben Kessel Asar. It was a highlight of the calendar year of so many of his Talmidim and their followers. He never published his Tshuva Drushes, but they were published. Edited transcripts were published. And one year, he had a little bit of an aside, and so when it was published in a footnote. Rav Soloveitchik came to the United States, to Boston in 1932, and v'mezuk segevein finster in the Eden. Orthodox Judaism in America in 1932 was in very bad shape. It's tremendous assimilation. There were traditional Jews who essentially drifted, who never felt that they had to work on Shabbos. We don't understand at all today the challenges that our Bubis and our Zaydis had when they came to the United States 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. Enormous challenges. And he says, thank God, over the years, I have come to realize that there are Jews in America who are Shomrei Shabbos. Baruch Hashem. And it's not something to take for granted. We live in a bubble. We think, Azazoy is Alamol Given. Do you know that in 1964, which is in my lifetime, and in the lifetime of many of you, there was a cover story of Look magazine that stated in big letters, "The Vanishing American Jew, May 14, 1964. And in the article, it predicted the imminent disappearance of Orthodoxy in America. 1964, it's terrifying from today. The imminent disappearance of Orthodoxy. Of course, we know what happened. Look magazine disappeared. And Baruch Hashem, Shachiyanu v'kiyimanu v'giyanu l'zman hazeh. But we were hanging by a hair. Baruch Hashem, Shachiyanu, we have Shomer Shabbos, says Rabbi Soloveitchik. My heart doesn't ache for the Shomer Shabbos Jew. My heart aches, he says in this footnote, in note 24, my heart aches for the Erev Shabbos Jew. For the Erev Shabbos Jew. I don't see Jews excited about the arrival of Shabbos, pulsating with anticipation that Shabbos is coming. We take a shower in the morning because we're very busy, grab the briefcase, run to work, come flying in right at the last minute. Deib Shazal Helfen, we should make it before Shkia. Drop the briefcase, run to shul, get to shul in the middle of the Chadoidi, daven up futch much there till the Chadoidi, have a little bit of a conversation through Mayriv, and then do a little business, catch up, and then we go home, we're ready to roll. We make Kiddush. What happened to Erev Shabbos? What happened to the Hachana for Shabbos? That is what makes Rabbi Soloveitchik ache. It's not just a din in Shabbos, it's a din in Erev Shabbos. And Erev Shabbos is not the only day of Hachana for Shabbos. Source number 25, the Kedushas Levi. The Heiliger of Levi Yitzchak says, Kol Yemei Hachol. We should always be, a whole week we should be caring about Shabbos. The Kuznets in Magid in 26 says at least Wednesday, Thursday, Friday we should be worrying about Shabbos. We walk into Shabbos, hi Shabbos. It's crazy. You got to build up. You have to slowly get ready for it. If not Erev Shabbos, at least Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What's the Yom? Hayom Yom Revi B'Shabbos. How does Hayom Yom Revi B'Shabbos end? It ends with L'chun Aranana. We say L'chun Aranana on Wednesday morning. We associate L'chun Aranana with Friday night. And Bamir on Wednesday, it's already L'chun Aranana. It's already Shabbos is coming. Already Wednesday we start to think. And the Kedushas Levi says, we should think a whole week about Shabbos. The Hachana, the din in the Hachana. And what's powerful is the Abda Rav in source number 28. The Abda Rav, Rabbi Avraham Yeshua Heschel, wrote a sefer called Oyev Yisrael. And he says something that I saw a couple of years ago that I have to tell you transformed my whole life and is worth the price of admission for tonight's shiur just for the Abda. The author says as follows, on the top right column in source number 28, Be'emes ra'ui v'nachon l'chol ish maskil v'novo. It is appropriate for any thinking human being. Losum elibo litzapot uliyachel kol yemei achol lihiyos mishomrei Shabbos. It's appropriate for us all week long to look forward to be a Shomer Shabbos, Kamai, what's the proof text? What's the proof text of the Apter defining what Shomer Shabbos is? Kamo ve'oviv shomar es hadovar. What is ve'oviv? You remember the story? Ve'oviv shomar es hadovar. I did you a favor. I Xeroxed it right below in source number 29. Yosef has the dreams. Yosef has dreams and the brothers are going to bow down to them and they're upset and they're unhappy and they're angry at him. They don't like this little ying whippersnapper, this little kid. He has dreams, he has all of these ideas that they're going to bow down to him. Who do you think you are? Forget about it. It's not going to happen. But va'oviv. The Aviv Shomar Es Hadover Zot Rashi. Zot Rashi at the bottom left of the page. What does Shomar mean? Shin Mem Reish. Zot Rashi Hoyamamtin Umitzape Mosayovo. Yaakov Avinu knew epis is going on here. It's not just the hallucinations of a young man. There's something profound that is unfolding. And he, Yaakov, the father, Mamtinu Metzape, he's waiting. He can't wait. He is looking forward. What does it mean? Aviv Shamar, he's looking forward. The Apter quotes this pasuk. On the next page, I gave you another pasuk. The pasuk says, Leil Shimurim Hu Lashem, that the night of Pesach. In source number 30, in Parshas Bo, Leil Shimurim. What does Leil Shimurim mean? Look at Rashi. Source number 30, top of the page, Shehaya HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shomer U'mitzapeh Elohim L'kayim Avtachosai. Shin Mem Resh means to look forward to. Means I can't wait for it to happen. What does it mean to be a Shomer Shabbos? When am I a Shomer Shabbos? When is a Jew a Shomer Shabbos? For my whole life I thought that I'm a Shomer Shabbos on Shabbos. On Shabbos, I'm a Sabbath observer. I observe the Sabbath. I go to shul, I listen to Kriyas HaTorah, I make Kiddush, I avoid the Lamites Melachis, I learn a little, I eat a little, I sleep a little. I'm a Sabbath observant Jew. Wrong, wrong, that's not what it means. By the time Shabbos comes, it's too late to be a Shomer Shabbos. When am I a Shomer Shabbos? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I can't wait. There's a song, I don't know how it goes. Shabbos is coming. Shabbos is coming. That's when I'm a Shomer Shabbos. The Hachana for Shabbos. The Hachana is what the Ikar is. The Hachana. The power of the preparation. Shmira Shabbos can only be possible before Shabbos. Once Shabbos arrives, it arrived already. There's nothing more I could do. Can't be a Shomer Shabbos. I'm sorry. It's too late. So we have a chana for slichas. We have a chana on Erev Yom Kippur. And we have a chana all week, every week, for Shabbos. I want to conclude with, to go back to where I started, the vision of V'chol Bo'ei Olam Yavron Lefonecha Kivnei Mara. We saw this in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. And we saw how Rabbeinu Nissen wants to know why it is. And he quotes the Psikta. What is the image of B'nai Mara? We took this image and we took this phrase and we incorporated it into one of the most central tfilos that we recite during the Yom Ha'Nerai. Unesan Etoikev Kedusha Sayyim. And in Unesan Etoikev Kedusha Sayyim, source number 31, we actually explicitly state V'chol Bo'ei Olam Yavron Lefonecha Kivnei Mara. My question is, what does this mean? If you turn to the last page, you have the Mishnah again in source number 32, and in the final source, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph asks this question. My Kivnei Mara. What's Kivnei Mara? V'chol Bo'ei Olam Shenodar Rosh Hashanah, everybody passes before you Kivnei Mara. The Gemara gives three answers. Hacha Targimu Kivnei Imrina. Reish Lakish Omar number 2, Kamala's Beis Maron, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kichayel Oshel Beis Dov. There are three images given by Chazal to help us understand what does B'nai Maron mean. If you look at Rashi, and regretfully I cut off the source here but after Rashi, Rashi says as follows, B'nai Imrina, what does it mean, sheep? Because in order to do Maisa Behema, you have to know one-tenth. The sheep, they're not like, they don't cooperate. Sheep, sheep, tire a sheep, do me a favor, just get in line. Just get in line, because we got to figure out how to do mice of hair. Forget about it. It's a balagan with sheep. What do? You put them in a corral, and you stip them as they gently through a little opening. And as they go through, one by one, the tenth one, you give a zetz, and you say, I raise them mice. What does it mean, Kivnei Imrina, like sheep? Single file. Single file. I wish I could hide behind my friend. I wish I could hide behind my Rebbe. I wish I could hide behind somebody. But I can't. Single file. We are us and God. That's the way it is. V'chol Bo'ei Olam Yavron Lefonecha Kivnei Mara. What's the next one? The next one is Malos Beis Maron. Sharashi says that derech kotzer ve'ein shnayim yecholim leilech ze b'tzad ze. Sheha emek, the drop is huge on both sides. It's a very narrow. It's a narrow step. You can't go two people together. Nachamo, what is it? Single file. Only one person at a time. Last answer of the Gemara, Kechayola Shel Beis David, Zok Rashi. How do we count? V'kach hayu monenosam, yotzim ze'achar ze'ah, b'tzeisam le'milcham. How do you know how many soldiers are going out to fight? Answer, one by one, we count them. So here's my question. What do all three have in common? B'nai Yimrina, Malos Beis Maru, and Chayola Shel Beis David, single file. So why doesn't the Gemara say Mike Ivnei Maron? And for the Gemara, single file? It all means single file. What do I need? Three visions and three scenarios to tell me single file. Tell me single file. So I want to suggest that each of these are significant for us to understand and to appreciate when it comes before Rosh Hashanah, now the Hachana that we're engaging before Rosh Hashanah. I want to take them out of order. First of all, Malos Beis Mar. It's important for us to ask ourselves, are we going up steps? Are we just plateau? Are we just status quo? You know what, last year was okay. It was okay. You know what? You know what, when I retire, I can come learn in the B'nai Yeshur and YU Kailo at night because now I'm busy. I have a portfolio. I have things to take care of. I am busy. Davish that help him marry off all the kids. I'll have an empty house. I'll come. The wife will come. It'll be Shalom on Yisrael. You know, come back to me in 30 years. We'll have a conversation. Now it's okay. It's good the way it is. Is that it? Is that the way it is? That's good enough for me? Plateau? Or am I going up steps? Do I want to improve? Do I want to be higher, better, different, more engaged, more involved, more knowledgeable this year than last year? That's one question we have to ask ourselves. The second question is, Chayola Shel Beis David, what are we fighting for? What is it that we fight for? Not just pay lip service to, not just say, it's really nice, it's really important. What is it that we fight for? In one of his novels, the late Alan Paton, as one of his characters say, a famous novelist, Cry the Beloved Country. Alan Paton, as one of his characters say, quote, "When I shall ascend to heaven, which I certainly intend to do, I will be asked, where are your wounds? When I will say I haven't any, I will be asked, was there nothing worth fighting for? And that is a question I do not want to have to answer. Where are our wounds? We sit, Altaris HaKadosh, it's beautiful. What a great community. It's wonderful. And it is wonderful. Baruch Hashem. What are we sticking our neck out? What are we fighting for? What are we prepared to get wounded for? Not just Shalom Al Yisrael, everything is nice. Anias Nafshi Itzalti, I'm done, I'm fine, everything is okay. No, stick your neck out. What are you sticking your neck out for? What are you fighting for? Where are your wounds? That's what we need to ask as we engage in the Hachana for Yom Hadin. And then the last one is K'bnei Imrina, sheep, and I save it for the last because it's the hardest. We live in an American culture that celebrates personal autonomy and individual choice. This is a free country. This is a democracy. I can do whatever I want. But we know when it comes to our tradition, we're not the balabas. We are not the ultimate arbiter of our destinies. There is a Mesorah, there is a tradition, there is a Torah, there is a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, there is a whole shalsheles that we need to submit to, and it's anti-American, and it's counter-cultural. Everything in America screams, don't submit, you're a balabas, you're a gavra, you do, you decide, it's a free country, get out of my face, I will do whatever I want. That's what America is. And we know it's not that way. When it comes to our tradition, we have to submit. I don't know. I don't understand it. There are certain mitzvahs that are complicated. There are certain issues that I don't get. I wish it wasn't that way. Too bad. That's what the Mesorah is. I bow my head. I submit like a sheep to the Ratzon Habore. And I judge what is appropriate and not appropriate in the world by what I understand to be the Ratzon Habore. As we get ready for Yom Tov, the Hachana of Shabbos, the Hachana of Erev Yom Kippur, the Hachana of Slichas, keep three things in mind. Number one, to keep in mind that we have to go up, not just be happy. Number two, keep in mind that we got to get out there and fight. It's not enough to say the words. It's not enough to talk the talk. And number three, to realize countercultural, anti-American, that we're Jews. And as Jews, we have something more important, much bigger. It's a Mesorah. We appreciate all of this. Kadosh Baruch Hu should grant all of us Ishnas Chaim v'Shalom, Lanu l'chol Yisrael. Amen.